I'm gonna call the meeting to order Thursday, June 4th at 10:10. Thank you for being here. So, good morning and welcome to the June 4th meeting of the Orange County Commission on Staff of Women and Girls. And we will begin our meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance. And I wanted to ask Dr. McKenzie if you would do that today.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Yeah, you gotta let me know so I can practice. What if I forgot it?
Okay, thank you.
Or memorize.
Madam Clerk, will you please call the roll?
Yes, Commissioners, please indicate your presence when I call your name. Commissioner Lombardi?
Here.
Commissioner Raisner Savage? Commissioner Mahoney?
Here.
Commissioner Merrick? Commissioner White?
Here.
Commissioner Miles?
Present.
And Commissioner Nesbitt?
Here.
Thank you. Noting for the record that we have a quorum. And just some housekeeping before you get started. The agenda for today contains a brief general description of each item to be considered, except as provided by law, no action shall be taken on any item not appearing on the agenda. The Commission encourages public participation. Members of the public may request to speak on any item appearing on the agenda or during general public comments. Please complete a speaker request form and turn it in to the clerk prior to the reading of the agenda item. Speakers will be given 3 minutes to speak. The clerk will run the timer and announce when your time is up. Public comments may also be submitted electronically by emailing comments@cob.oc.gov. Also, please be aware that the room is microphoned for recording of the meeting. So please try to keep side conversations to a minimum and turn cell phones to mute or vibrate for the duration of the meeting. Thank you.
Thanks very much. At this time, we will take any public comments. Any public comments?
I have not received any requests from the public to speak.
Okay, then in that case, we will move on to agenda items. And our first agenda item is to approve the minutes of May 7th, 2026, regular meeting of the Commission. Did everyone have an opportunity to read the minutes? Is there anyone that has?
I move the approval of the minutes.
Moved by Commissioner Hurtola-Larry. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Mahoney, I have first and second. All, any discussion at all? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Abstain.
Okay. No opposed, one abstention. Okay, agenda item number two, we have a Commission budget update. And I believe this is going to be ready.
I'm sorry, when we did this, I'm like, it's been a crazy week. So, Krislyn and I were able to, we actually just submitted with procurement the final budget that was spent based on the printouts, as well as the two-pager that we created, and of course, the report.
Labor charges.
Then the labor charges. So the total was $51,502.82. That is what will be, we call JV back to the, against the funding that was provided by Supervisor Chafee. I do not have, I could do quick math to tell you what that leaves you with.
$100,000, yes.
Krislyn, can you do that? I do want to also, this is really very timely, given our budget issue, so not only in terms of lack of funding or in changes in funding to our Health and Human Services Department, such as IHCA, OCCR, SSA, if you've heard, HR1 impacts, they're countless impacts. We have very limited resources. This has been publicly stated too, also as the county, looking to prevent any layoffs. So we have not had to lay anyone off at this point, but we are also kind of shifting into those types of cost-saving measures as a county. So it is a very, everybody's really doing more with less, right? As part of that, our representatives from the departments that were coming to every meeting, they will still be the point of contact, but they won't be attending every Commission meeting. So luckily, Krislyn and I will remain constant, both of us, to be able to come to all of the meetings. And then we can always pull them in, let them know in advance that you want to have them kind of help set up a presentation or, you know, give you whatever material is needed. Dr. Marchese, as you can see, is here today because I knew there was that childcare piece that you had been working with her on, but the other two representatives will only come as needed. And then, you know, Kristen and I are really a great point of contact for the Master Plan for Aging, Office on Aging, those types of initiatives. We work really closely on OC Cares, which is one of the initiatives that I think would eventually tap into what the work you're doing here. So I think we're still in a good place there. But just wanted to give you that update. And just also just, you know, for most commissions, we're looking at updating them so they understand that now more than ever, as much as these commissions can help to find outside resources or, you know, kind of bring their own kind of collaborative efforts to the work that we're doing, that is appreciated and will be helpful as we get through these really tough financial times. But yeah, I think what the total you have remaining is $48,497.18. So I think given, I do want to remind you that there was a lot of staff time that we didn't charge to this, just for gauge of what, how much do we really have left and what can we do with that effectively. So.
Is it possible for you to tell us right now, like how much of the 4,000 was staff time and how much was materials?
So the, I think it was up to about 50,000 was the staff time, and then the other stuff was the printing that was approved. Mm-hmm. We charged because it was approved to charge up to, I think, 50,000 for staff time, and then the additional 1,000 something was the print cost for the report and that one pager.
What was that number in 48,497.18?
That's the balance, correct?
That's what's mm-hmm. left, yes.
And we'll have that reflected in the next meeting once we get like the final invoice sorted out, and then Valerie, I'll just provide it to you for the for record keeping.
So $48,000 really far.
The good news is it is set aside to be sent by the commission, so it won't be.
Yeah, I chatted with the procurement and then also the board office. So thank you for your support. So they know that it will remain for this purpose only.
You'll have a whole bunch of crazy moms up there.
So 50,000 for the staff time has already been.
Yes.
And
yes.
And the 48 is the balance after. Okay. Got it.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for the update. Anyone have any questions or comments regarding that?
No, I guess not on that particularly, but I think maybe it does bring up whether we want to ever fundraise from outside sources or do things on our own, and kind of just looking at some of the other county and city models, they do look for outside funding occasionally, and they have either grants or they hold fundraisers, like the Los Angeles Commission. I think, I don't think any of us made it in March, but I think that was a big fundraiser for their scholarships and other things that they wanted to do. And so I think we could at some point maybe have a discussion about exactly where we want to go, and if it's if we expand outside of kind of reports and individual issues per year, that there's kind of a whole other arm of us that we could be doing, you know, fundraising for, et cetera. So it's the world is our oyster to a certain extent. We've got a limited amount of dollars, but I think we can. I don't know if the county has any input on that. Of you know, if we were seeking funding from outside sources, whether that would be okay.
Are we allowed to do that?
I'm looking at the bylaws. Yeah, that made me think of the bylaws. Yeah. So within the articles of purpose and function.
In the meantime, this balance, how long do we have it for?
So just as a matter of procedure, without looking at the bylaws, because we're a county commission and not a nonprofit, I don't know how that would work.
Yeah. I guess Cynthia's not here to talk about it, but I know the Los Angeles Commission
created some kind of arm of it for scholarships or something like that, or for childcare or something like that.
Yeah, that would be definitely deviating outside of what the intended, like what the rezo contemplates and what allows for. But you're right, it is very difficult for the county to receive any outside funding except for express purpose, right? So they would have to donate it on behalf to the county, on behalf of the commission, for the very express purpose. We could accept it and then, you know, use it for that fund, right?
Okay,
that is. It would be something that, of course, Cynthia's not here, but I would have to get back with county council.
And right. There's nothing.
Well, and you know that donations to the county have to go to the Board of Supervisors.
Right, over $10,000.
Accept donation of for this purpose, and they approve it.
Oh, yeah, at over $10,000.
That's right, and it's actually really comes. So for Phillip Park High School, the Every 15 Minutes program, Wagner has donated $2,000 towards that, and we think it was so easy because he was like, here's a check. And it was not easy. It was not easy at all to get that money over to the program for the Every 15 Minutes, which, if you're not familiar, is a program that's put on by the CHP. And it used to be the MAD, Moms Against Drug Driving, and it teaches kids the repercussions of drug driving, and they recreate over the course of 3 days. Very impactfully. What happens from start to finish if somebody that drinks and drives, and they bring in a car that's controllable, and the students interact and they dress up and act like, you know, we have some airlifted out to the medical center, and the drunk driver survives. He gets booked into jail, and it's all filmed. And the people that are in the car pass away, and so the Grim Reaper goes to the classroom and pulls the kid, and then the kid stays in the hotel, and like. It's insane and very impactful, but it was,
so
yes, I digress. It's really hard to get money, but it worked. It happened. So it does happen.
Yeah.
It's just, it takes
months. Would you like to agendize it? Yeah, maybe. This is one of those things that when we do the commission, when the Status of Women and Girls, the California one, I wish they would host. I maybe need to get them some feedback, but the logistics of so many of their programming at the other counties and cities are unknown to us. And so I wish they'd do some programming on the logistics of how do they run fundraisers and scholarship programs and everything. So,
so can we agendize that just to get an update or maybe some input from Cynthia for next month?
And I'm sure we can advocate with the other supervisors to donate to the commission.
Everyone's absolutely able to go to their representative and ask if they have any discretionary funds.
Right.
That would be amazing. I know that Chairman did the first, you know, bunch, and based on our presentation and how well it was received, I would imagine the supervisors, you know, the rest of them would hopefully be, you know, excited to participate, even if it's like
over 10,000 would help.
Yeah. So.
Okay. I'll ask Katrina. I'll ask Commissioner Foley.
Yeah. If we all ask. That would be amazing. But would still like to put on, if Cynthia could let us kind of give us a brief, like, how would we go about it? Can we do it? And if we can't, what can we do?
Okay. I'll tell her that's what she gets for missing our meeting today.
Commissioner Nishibi, did you have another question, an additional question?
I already asked.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments related to our budget or monies available?
I actually think that's a good idea if we lobby our supervisors to agree on a set amount, you know, for our budget of discretionary funds.
Advocate.
Do we want to come up with an amount to ask them so that they know everybody's being asked for the same amount, at least from a starting point?
Yeah.
Everybody asked for 10?
Yeah, what do you, I was thinking.
Unless you can get more, yeah.
Okay.
25 or 30. Mm-hmm.
I would recommend, this is my recommendation, is to have a very, do you know what you're at, like what you're going to produce for that money?
Yeah.
Right.
I think we need to drill.
I think once you all decide, here's what we're able to produce in this time. as I mentioned, resources are very tight too. So I also would want you to have some sense of what the cost would be if you're going on a larger scope to have, because I know Kristen's team's already tapped on resource time. So even like the timeline, like not by next year, maybe you're asking for like money that would serve for like a report that in 2 years, right? Mm-hmm. So that we're able to recreate, like we talked about, recreate this, not every year, but every 3 years. So then that's built into the ask. I think that would be my recommendation to get the maximum amount.
And if we are at a spot where we feel unable to produce unable to fully conduct a survey study on the child care accessibility and affordability that we're trying to do, so we're using outside resources as much as we can, but we're already in a position where we don't feel like the $50,000 is enough to, but maybe we need to look at it a little bit more. But I know if it is going to child care accessibility and affordability information gathering, that would be pretty compelling for at least my supervisor. So if I think we're already two-thirds of the way there to making a really specific ask, because I think there are things within what we're doing right now that we'd like to have more money for already, or that we're afraid of spending our 50. So we're, but if we maybe drill down on a specific plan of it, but I think we've already rejected the idea of a real survey, a real study, bringing in someone else. And so maybe those are the things that we could be asking the money for, just the stuff that we've kind of said, well, I guess we don't have the money for that, we'll just do it ourselves kind of thing. So maybe we are more in a position to ask sooner rather than later.
So let's put this on the August, where we can have a full discussion about the realistic expectation of how much we all think what it's going to be used for, the time frame that we need it, and the specific ask.
Yeah.
So that would be good. And who knows, maybe you're right. Maybe it's something that we can all, ask in December, or who knows, or maybe it's something that we go, well, we can really, use it in 2 years because we want to recreate, so let's slow down. And
right.
And then Cynthia can opine, give some guidance on, I wrote, ability to receive and mechanism for outside donation requests or partnerships.
Which actually goes hand in hand with asking the supervisors for money, because if Cynthia said that's a no-go, then we need to ask our supervisors probably for money.
We need to start understanding how the state commission functions more and how they're doing what they're doing too. I think that would be very helpful to us.
So I should reach out to Darcy Tone at some point and just ask her. They have these.
Provide like a summary.
Well, could she Zoom call? Like, could she be a speaker next in August? That would kind of align with that whole discussion. Is have her Teams or Zoom in. And then be part of, then everyone can make a decision.
Yeah.
If they're willing.
That's a great idea.
Okay. Chris, do you mind lead on that?
Okay.
Let us know, and then if he is able to zoom in on the August meeting, and that's August 6th.
Okay.
That'd be great. 10, 15, 20 minutes maybe, but just kind of lay out the law for me.
Yeah. because I think the commissions are run, right? We could reach out to each individual commission and ask them, or we could reach out to Darcy, who probably knows exactly how, what, you know, this one is run this way and the other ones are run this way for their fundraising and their finance. So that's great. Okay.
And a reminder that June put together a great, like, kind of cheat sheet of what, how each commission runs. So that was a really early on. We could recirculate it. I know it's in my very voluminous.
Probably, I guess, have it in here somewhere, I would think, in our package.
In the original, initial.
Original. Yeah, so just, like, maybe look there if Commissioner Weiss, you know, you want to look through and see which.
It's the one with the orange.
I just turned to it.
When does the term of this commission end?
No, but your appointments are concurrent with, so it's a 2-year term. Yes. We try to do a concurrent with the appointing supervisor. Sometimes it's a little off, but that's what's in the bylaws, is a 2-year term for commissioner.
So is that the term limit, though, or is it the discretion of the supervisor to reappoint, or?
I don't believe we have term limits. I looked into that the other, just that came up earlier. Yeah. So I think you can be reappointed. It's not stated that you. And I believe you could even be reappointed by a different supervisor. I know they try to stay within their districts, but you've got at large that you could also be appointed to, or for a different district.
Yeah, so I'm at large. So
they all technically get voted on. It's just who brings the item. So each supervisor brings their appointees as an item on the board agenda, but the at-large gets brought by the chair. So it's just a kind of logistical thing.
Okay. And that would be confusing. Is it possible for the August meeting to get a list of whose appointments might be
coming in? Well, I can tell you that the 5 members that are appointed by the Board of Supervisors districts, their terms expire at the concurrent with the supervisor's term of office. So I know that my 4th district is term ending, is termed out this term. So is it this year or next year?
This year.
Okay, so this year is his final year. And so we'll have a new supervisor next year. But then the 4th district appointee can either apply to the new supervisor to be reappointed. But it's called like holdover, meaning that even if your term expires, you can continue to serve until either reappointed or replaced.
Right.
So yes, I can get you, I know that, and then the 2 at-large, it's 2 years. So I can look up like your appointment dates and your term expiration dates and let you know.
I think my term expiration date has come up, right? Because I'm at large.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm appointed right to the fall of
2024. Uh-huh. Right, so I think mine's coming up.
Okay.
So then,
I'll look up
that might be, that would be helpful to kind of know our potential date, if you will. So
tell us not to get rid of our chair, is what we would all appreciate.
January of 25?
No?
Yeah, because it was
24 that. Maybe we didn't have our first meeting until then, but the appointment. You guys were appointed like August. I came in maybe October, or I may be off by a month or two, but I think we started in the 24 year, but yeah. Towards like the
We didn't have a meeting until January, right?
No, we did, because I think I attended I thought maybe November was my first meeting, or October. Is that not?
Sounds right. Sounds right.
We'll get that from Valerie.
I don't have it.
That might be me and I. I can't, but I can get that information.
That would just be good to know, because then that way, so just for the at large, so.
My first meeting was October 3rd.
So is Commissioner Nishibi, she's at large and I'm at large.
But she was just recently appointed, so she just started her first 2-year term.
Okay, so it's not tied to chair?
No.
Okay.
When you're appointed.
That's my crossover that I'm not, okay, I'm processing that, so it doesn't matter that the chairman may not continue.
Right, and even though you were appointed before the commission started meeting, we didn't start the term until you actually started serving. Our first meeting was September. So yours, like if I'm just going, September this year would be your term would be up, but then you can do your.
Okay.
So first meeting was September 24?
September 5th.
Okay, so then who's in charge of making sure I, you guys are like, where's Crystal? Who's in charge of, is it, do I get a notice like, hey, your term is expiring, you need to reapply, or is it something that the chair?
You just have a whisper in the ear of a supervisor and tell him you'd like to continue.
Yeah, we don't, as far as clerk of the board, we keep track of the appointments and the terms, but we don't send out notice when your term is expiring. It's actually on you as commissioners to reach out to your, to the appointing authority that appointed you to request to be reappointed.
So then I would be reaching out to the chair.
Is that, do they not have to reapply through the clerk of the board application system? One more, like.
No, they submit their applications directly to the, directly to the board office.
Okay.
So in this case, you would like reapply to the chair's office.
Okay.
How would they have that application? Do you keep that? Is that a template?
Oh, the,
I've never seen it originally.
It's the BCC application that it's online.
Okay.
It's on our website.
So the application from the BCC website on the clerk of the board, send it. Fill it out, send it to us.
Yeah, meaning you could send it to us, but what we'd literally do is take your application and give it to the chair's office.
Okay, so just because I don't want anyone,
am I up in November
we'll,
too?
We'll find out when she sends us the information.
Yeah, I'm going to go up and look, because Joanna, you are,
but she's district, she's holding.
Right, so Foley is currently in the middle of an election for her second 2-year term. If she wins her election, then you continue serving because she's still in office. If she does not win her election, then you would continue serving until the new 5th District Supervisor takes office, and then you could reach out to that supervisor and say, hey, I'm the 5th District appointee to the commission. I would love to continue. Can I please submit my information to you for consideration to be appointed?
So, and I don't need to reapply to Commissioner, to Susan Foley upon her re-election?
No.
Okay.
So, but just a question. So the 2-year terms, they don't matter then, as long as, because I thought we had 2-year.
I think they said just the 2-year terms are only for at-large.
Only at-large. So district-specific appointments are for a term concurrent with the supervisor's term of office. At-large appointments are for a 2-year term that starts date of appointment. Yours, again, because the commission was just forming, so we didn't actually start your effective term.
You got it. Yeah, all regular commission member appointments shall be for a term concurrent with the term of office and nominating member of the board. That's you. At large. Okay. Good. Because I would hate to have September come around like 4 of us are off.
Right.
Yeah. Right. So it's just, no, and that's just why they have that holdover provision. Okay. So that way you don't lose people during the transition of, say, board offices, or during, you know, if your term expires and they haven't, you know, decided, you know, that's why you continue serving.
Okay, perfect. All right, well, that's good. I have to reapply. or else not. And you guys
would. You better not drop off the millier. You got a term.
Okay, I'm going to move on to item 3 is to receive and file the commission website analytics.
Okay, I have it on the screen, and let me tilt this one so you guys can see it. It's also in your packet. So I requested from CEO the basically our website, and so this is Clerk of the Board's website, and then you'll see I've highlighted the Commission on the Status of Women and Girls, and this was just from March 9th, the day before the report was issued, until I requested it was on May 21st. So this is just the 3 month, March, April, May. Our website had 901 views with 554 active users. And the event count is how many clicks. And the event count is 3,800. So 3,800 clicks around on the links within our website. I could not get a specific number of clicks on the report. But you can see on here that between March 10th and March 15th, we had a big spike. That's us, the dark blue line. So we have a big spike right after the report was published. And then it kind of fell down. We had a little bit of spike in the week between March 15th and March 22nd. And then it's kind of static, a little spike here in April. And then, so this is just kind of an idea of the traffic on our website. There's a spike here in the middle of April, and then all the way through May, it just kind of stays static here at the bottom.
Did everybody get their presentations to their city councils done?
I'm still working through mine. I've done some.
Katrina and I are still working on
that. That will be in my report.
I think Christine did most of hers, or maybe all of them. She was pretty intense.
She was on it.
Yeah, I
got all mine done. And those dates where you see those spikes is kind of when we were at city council.
That might be it. Ooh, spike! Oh, yes, they can spike.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's possible that that's when you see those spikes. But I don't like it. It didn't give me specific clicks on the report. It's just navigation to our website and
can't we extrapolate because the QR code took you straight to the website which had the report, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So can't you kind of extrapolate that is the report?
What else?
Or are they all us?
Even though I can't say definitively this was the report that they were actually clicking on, but yes, I would say that we can assume that. I mean, because that's really besides the agendas and the minutes. That's really the only link that's clicked that's on there.
We do get a report of the active users by city too, so we could look at that and see.
That's interesting. If it lines up with when we attended.
Yeah.
I presented to Laguna Hills March 10th, to RSM March 25th, Lake Irvine March 24th, Lake Forest in May, and Mission Viejo in May. And others.
I see May 10th. It's a spike. Yeah,
I've done 6, and I have 3 pending only because we need the PowerPoint. So Laguna Woods, I presented, but they agendized me for the next month, which is June 17th, to do a full report, not just during public comments. And Seal Beach wants me to do, they want me to do a full PowerPoint presentation, just like Laguna Woods. So I've done the presentation, I've sent it to Liz yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so it just needs approval for branding and.
You created one, is that
your thing? Yes, oh, yes, okay. Yes. I created one. It can be used by anyone. I took it, I took the data from the highlight sheet and just did that.
Fantastic.
We just received it yesterday, so we will need time.
That's what I said, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. We could probably commit to getting it back to you next week.
I have a question. I think I missed the meeting where we discussed why we were looking at this. So I'm just curious, is this just to know if people are looking at a report? Was that the reason that we're looking at the website?
Yeah, to see what kind of activity happened once the report got released.
Okay.
Okay, thank you for that. That's just a receiving file, so I appreciate doing that. Yeah. Okay, so item four, we're going to get into the strategic study session on caregiving affordability and access. And so I want to kind of set some expectations and have a very heart-to-heart, clear conversation with all of us. So that nobody thinks that we're, I shouldn't say it like that. I do not intend between now and February of recreating a report like this. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make sure
I'm on board.
Okay. My expectation is that this is our amazing foundation. Again, beating a dead horse. You guys are amazing. As we know, the hours that you guys spent that I know you did not bill for were exceptional. So thank you for that. You volunteered your time, donated your time, and Christmas, we're sitting on a thing. You know what I mean? So,
the work you did is evident, yeah.
I don't anticipate that happening again anytime soon. Now, that being said, I would like to think that we as a commission would be able to focus on this caregiving aspect, which we are going to work on today, and then maybe in 2 years, a year after February of 27, there's an update to this, right? And so then maybe whoever's chair at that point in time can say, okay, now we're ready to beef this up or go back in, revise this, whatever. So that's what I'm looking at. So for us, for this next report, if you will, which I think the term report kind of implies something like this. So I have this one. I brought Dr. Marchese's The Conditions of Children, which is ginormic. Never doing that. And then one, I was involved with the Older Adults Advisory, the needs assessment involved in the needs, not that I went out and surveyed anyone, but I was on the commission as vice chair. So again, huge report. All really good information. What I'm anticipating for us as a commission to kind of keep our validity and our legitimacy is that we do something very similar to what was produced, which is kind of this one pager that's going to have, hopefully, we've all agreed it's going to be this caregiving, accessibility, affordability, whether it's with child care, whether it's with adult or older adult care. And so it would be called a deep dive.
It's an update.
Okay, so that's where I'm coming from as chair is, and honestly, I don't have the amount of time or that we put in along with them coming here. We spent a lot, and so I think if we're all on the same. Moving forward with something that we can produce. And again, this is, I don't mean this, if I'm coming across negatively, tell me, because I want to change my tone. We don't have the same ability to rely on them like we did the first time. So, not to say we're on our own, because we definitely are not on our own, but we need to do more of the work on this one than we did on that one. So, that's also why.
Hence the assignments, right?
Hence the assignments. Hence the only having $48,000 left. Hence us trying to ask for money, hopefully later on. But I believe with $48,000, we should be able to accomplish a one-pager update, report, highlights, status, whatever we want to call it, to the Board of Supervisors sometime in March, hopefully. That kind of supplements this and will include things which I think is really important, some suggestions or some ideas on how the Board of Supervisors can help or support.
Would you say that in the supplemental report that we're doing, right, this supplemental study, that part of what we're doing is not just putting information about the status, but what the best practices are to address those, right?
So, absolutely. I think we did, yes, absolutely. And when I say one page, it could actually be like
sure,
or whatever, but I mean, I'm just saying it's not going to be like this.
Right.
But yes, I feel it's important to provide them ideas or suggestions, best practices, or what other people are doing, or maybe what we think might work, or when we go talk to experts or whatever, that they say, well, we know, they're really nice, there's no title, or whatever it might be, now, whether or not they choose to use them. But at least that way, I feel like we've given them the opportunity to say, this is what we found is out there. Whether they choose to use it or not, that's them. But so, procedurally, do I need to end the meeting so that we can just dive in and go over all this stuff, or do I need to keep the meeting open?
The meeting has to stay open.
Okay.
Because it is a public and okay. Brand Act meeting, but there's nothing that prevents you from.
So we can all, we can just talk. Okay, great. Yeah. Then we're going. All right, so with that being.
Oh, prior to that, Chair, we did. Can we introduce? June would like to introduce.
Oh, yes.
So these are District 4 interns. This is Iker. Did you guys want to just introduce yourselves?
I would love that. Can they come up here so we can hear? Yeah, and get them used to speaking. You guys.
Thank you for letting me be here. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm Iker, as Jen said. I just graduated from UCI with a poli sci degree. So I've been working with the county at the internship for about 10 months now, since September, I think. So it's been a great opportunity to learn a lot about what the county does, and it's very exciting to be here. It's amazing that, you know, this committee exists in the first place, and I'm really, excited to read the report. I got to see some of the report that you guys made, and it was very interesting to see, all the data. I love seeing, data like that, so... Really good job. But yeah, anyway, so I'm really excited to be here and to learn from you all. Yeah.
To meet you.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. So nice to meet you. My name is Milena. I just finished up my first year at Cypress Community College, and I'm transferring to Cal State Long Beach. And I've been with the county interning for District 4 for in total, I believe a year, and very excited to still be here. It's been a great opportunity, and I appreciate you guys. My major is economics, and I'm looking to minor once I transfer to Cal State Long Beach in either public policy or political science. I still haven't decided that yet. So,
do you ever go to any of the Cypress baseball games?
No, I did not. I did not. No, unfortunately. Yeah. Oh yeah, I know they have a great baseball team, but I never got the chance to go.
Yeah.
Hi, everyone. My name is Justin. I'm going into my senior year at Kennedy High School. I'm a part of my district's internship experience called AIM. So it's Anaheim Interning Mentoring Experience. This is my second day working at District 4.
Oh, nice.
So I plan to either study political science or criminal justice because I'm interested in either going to government or law enforcement.
So Justin, so you're a senior now?
I'll be going into senior year.
Okay, so you're a rising senior.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're a 2027 grad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so what colleges are you looking at?
I'm looking at Cal State LA and Cal State Fullerton.
Okay, I'm tight. Well,
good luck. Yeah. Good luck.
Fantastic. Thank you guys for being here.
We're not too scary, right? Thank you for the warm welcome. Our interns are awesome.
Just to our Cypress, La Palma Kennedy Cypress College. I live in Cypress. I'm always happy to connect if you guys want more information about local issues.
Okay, so moving on. So we all, thank you for putting up the list. So we kind of all chose some subject matters to get some information on. And so I think the best way to do this, in my opinion, but I'm totally open, is why it's kind of like a work study session because I want everyone's input. I believe we agreed. Childcare, accessibility, costs, and elder care or adult care, and accessibility and cost. So I kind of, so this is kind of what I wrote up, not stuck to this, but kind of to give us some direction. So right now, child care and elder care are the focus areas for 2026 annual report update because they represent the two most significant caregiving pressures affecting the economic stability, health, and long-term opportunities of women and girls in Orange County. The 2025 report identified caregiving as a recurring theme across multiple indicators: workforce participation, income, housing stability, financial security. And therefore, it highlighted and exposed to the need for a deeper examination of the systems that shape these outcomes. Across all age groups, caregiving responsibilities remain the leading factor influencing women's ability to pursue education, maintain stable employment, and advance in their careers. Childcare and elder care are the two periods in life when these pressures are most acute. By focusing on these bookend caregiving stages, Commission can more clearly illustrate how caregiving demands shape women's economic trajectories over time. Should say economic trajectory and stability. Both child care and elder care costs have risen faster than household income, and I printed out my data for that. Have risen faster than household income, placing substantial strain on families. These costs disproportionately affect women, who are more likely to reduce work hours, decline promotions, or exit the workforce entirely in order to meet caregiving needs. A focused analysis will allow the commission to quantify these impacts and identify opportunities for policy intervention, which is where we kind of thought about talking about maybe some suggestions or things that we can bring awareness to or advocate for, the Board of Supervisors might be able to grab onto. So I went through and found a bunch of different resources. And so my question for you guys is, as long as it's a cited resource, maybe it's not a really widely well, it's not the Census Bureau, it's not First Five, it's not the Department of Health, it's not, as long as it's a cited resource, are we allowed to use it?
That's a tough one. If it's an original source,
mm-hmm.
Yes. Secondary sources, I would think, have to be vetted on how they've been kind of translated from that original source.
So, okay. So, maybe we can pull them up. So, I don't know if we want to, like, be able to pull them up on here, but...
I thought when you put him in the grade, I like the way you said my apology.
Okay. It really captures well, it captures it, yeah.
Thank you, that'll probably change 18 times. But so like I was going through and I found like there's different, is there any way for me to cast my screen?
No. But just tell me what's the
well, one of them is this, it's this one. So help.
My arm feels embarrassed. Everything kind of stings, but nothing's broken.
Did you fall?
I did. I tripped and fell coming in to the room, just over nothing but my own feet.
I've been there.
Or can you email me the link? Well, here, let's do this one. It's weird. So this one is child care costs in Orange County. It should look like this. It should look like that. Child care costs in Orange County is a daycare, toddler daycare, preschool. So it's, try the www.
This is research and first
we'll try that one because I think that well, that's one of them, but that's fine.
But that's not the one you're looking for.
That's okay. I have that one too.
Okay.
I also have like checkpregnancy.com, which that's why I was asking
even at that
if you can use any website because checkpregnancy.com talks about average child care costs in Orange County, California too. So
that's what you need.
So maybe does anyone want to kind of go over what they found or what they see as important in this report? Because we
can you tell me the summary that you wrote, was that for kind of
kind of our internal purposes, or is that kind of just our like guiding, like a North Star statement, or was that
for
any particular?
It was kind of the guiding North Star to help kind of understand and set the tone so that we say, okay, we have this great report. It kind of, we figured, you know, obviously everything's important. It stood out to us. Is the cost of childcare, the accessibility of childcare, and elder care. So you got the sandwiches, right? So most people, most, not all.
Intro statement of something that we might draft.
Right.
Great.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just kind of looking at that.
And then from that, going on, okay, so then for me, what I thought we should do is cost metrics, the average annual cost. So I started looking up, like, how much does it cost? How much is an infant? How much is this? What is in California? And so one of these websites, it breaks it down by county too. And it was insane. San Francisco County has the highest child care cost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like insane amount. And I was just like, that's ridiculous. I mean, a child. Like, why? You know what I mean? Like,
everything is more there.
I know, but just when you look at it, just logically, my brain doesn't wrap around that. It's like, your kid is your kid.
I'm thinking about your previous question about, like, what data is allowable, you know, like, what, right? I'm wondering if we know that the county is already doing some work in this space, right, Dr. Marchese?
I
just want to make sure that we don't put out something that's at odds with what we put out in the other channel. That's what sparked my mind of, like.
Yeah, and I think primarily the work from First Five at a county level. And I wasn't here last time. I know Kim came and presented, but
I think is there anybody that could give us a? Allison and I both missed it, and Dr. Marchese missed the presentation.
It was a great presentation.
Yeah. Were there materials that were?
There's a PowerPoint.
Was that in the agenda? Did you send that out on? Do you know if we've had that?
I don't think it was
to you
in the minutes, was it? And I never got it. But I do have a copy in my office, and so
I can.
Oh.
I highly recommend too, because I know we talked about it, but that when you have speakers, right, because now the commissioners are kind of being the point of contacts for the speakers, if you set it now, then the clerk of the board, you can direct clerk of the board to post materials. So what we do like at OCCJCC is we don't need it in advance, right, because I hate that whole, like, I need it 2 days before and people are stressed. But after the presentation, the policy is that you send a copy of what was presented to the clerk of the board, and then they can upload it onto your webpage so that you have it after every meeting. You can refer back, you can see what was done.
And I think Kim did that. Kim sent the presentation to Valerie a couple days beforehand.
Yeah, I have it.
Okay.
To commiserate it would be best to say, that's kind of the guideline that we want to follow for the commission, is that the clerk of the board will always present the materials post-meeting, and then that way we can make sure that it's getting done.
Good.
Because that's not a standard.
She sent it ahead of time, I think thinking that it would be attached to the minutes before the meeting, and so I think that was the... So it didn't get it. So yeah, but she sent it. I had requested that she send it to Valerie, and she did. We just didn't specify when to attack, when Valerie should send it out to everybody else.
So the county is going towards a policy of no print, right? Like, we're trying to reduce cost of printing, paper, all of those things. We're like at that point in our journey.
They took the printer out of my office.
Yeah, we don't have
like shared printers. So they can monitor black and white only, unless you got permission to print color.
All of our studies.
No. Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. No.
The cost of maintaining a solo printer versus a shared printing center.
No, we have shared printers. Like, I can print. Like, you use your badge. It's totally fine. But yes, we are.
We are making extreme cuts.
I think it's a good point to highlight, though, that there's two things happening, which is A, there, it's actually astronomical how much we're saving. It's like multi-million dollars, actually. But the settings have to be set. Like, so every single person on the network got their settings changed overnight so that it just resets to black and white, double-sided. You have to, like, specifically go out of your way to do it. So that's for us, right? But I think that's kind of like the shift we're making, as well as more everything electronic. So there's a world where it may be better for the commissioners to have like their laptops with them and be able to do that as well. So that you're
kiss them goodbye.
That's why we started doing the QR code on the agenda instead of printing out the whole packet for you. So that you can just scan it on your phone.
Yeah, it's great because it's taxpayer money, so you're being better stewards of the taxpayer dollars.
So it's taking adjustment, and we are all I'm very paper forward. Like, I like writing, I like reading books in print. I'm a dinosaur nowadays, but it is something that we are making a very concerted effort at the county to make that shift. So I didn't want to call it out.
But I think what Liz was saying, in terms of like data, so because like no one is basically taking like everything that everyone paid in Orange County and like dividing it by the number of kids and being like, here, it's $1,500. There's a lot of different methodology that comes into these like cost assessments. And so I would just be careful that we're not using too many different sources with different methodology, or we're going to have data that's going to conflict with.
Or to your point, is to put them all out there as different methodology and different sources. And
here's just the recognize
range of all the information out there that it could be, right? That we just are accurately describing the data. I think that might even be a better approach. Say, like, this source, you know, is different from this source because it took this methodology into account. You know, there's a range.
There was like what our average salary was, and then what the disparity was with men were different.
So with all these, unless you like fully can understand the methodology that they're using, I would just be.
So it's probably best going forward, because that little exercise that we did where people signed up for stuff, and not all of them were websites that were directed towards like county departments. So I guess for this, we need to make a promise pledge agreement that we're not going to go look at websites that aren't maybe like healthcare agency or community resources.
Well, as long as they talk about their methodology so you know what you're actually looking at, right? Because, I mean, this, like, it's like, oh, it's $300 per week. Like, where are they coming up with all those numbers? I just want us to...
Right there, methodology on the bottom.
Okay. I can't read it, but... But yeah, so just understanding what you're looking at.
I'm trying to highlight it for you. Yeah, right there.
Yeah, so their primary data source is the National Database of Childcare Prices. I don't even know what that is, but...
So then we could ask you to...
Kristen, what's the website? I mean, I just can't read up there.
It's childcarecost.org.
And is it a national? Is that?
Well, this one was for California.
Okay.
So would that one be okay?
Maybe it'd be helpful, kind of thinking of data. Maybe we can do like a spreadsheet. You know, the link, the data source, methodology of it, and just compile like all the sources we can find specifically around childcare, caregiver cost resources. Where we can just kind of vet them too before.
I was going to say, if we build the spreadsheet, maybe we can do a finite amount of time of having you and Chow vet the info.
And if we have the right headers, like ensuring it does have methodology or sources, things like that, we can cross check.
Even sequence out the validity, like how which one, and then maybe
credibility,
preparing something. Just kind of guide us on these are the ones that I would feel more comfortable citing, and then maybe we don't cite to these, or and then if there's three good sources, we could average them or, you know, something.
Some of the sources I have, of course, were from first5kidsdata.org.
So Kids Data uses the California Healthy Kids Survey. So most of the stuff on Kids Data is taking California Healthy Kids Survey, doing some back-end stuff, and presenting it the way they want it on the website.
There's the Healthy Kids Survey.
And California Budget and Policy Center.
These California Healthy Kids Survey is a state-run survey through WestEd. So the California Department of Ed uses WestEd for the survey, but the districts do opt in to do the survey. It used to be mandated with the No Child Left Behind Act. Every district had to administer the survey. Now it's by choice. A lot of districts that have the TUPE funds have to do it with the TUPE funds. So that's how they monitor the smoking metrics and the changes in those with the TUPE funds.
What are the two
tobacco use and prevention funds?
And what's the parameters of which schools would receive those? Are they both like at-risk schools, or is it?
They put in an application, so it's a grant. It's okay. A grant that the school districts apply to. And part of the grant funds is ensuring that they're doing the California Healthy Kids Survey to monitor what's going on with that grant funding.
Not all schools are being captured.
Not all schools. It's opt-in because it is a slight cost associated with the survey.
Do we know what schools? Is there a typical profile of a school that opts out? Would this be almost at-risk schools that just don't have capacity to do it? So are we missing our most vulnerable populations?
When I worked with the alcohol and drug prevention team, and I think they still do this, they help fund the districts that don't have funding for the survey, so cost typically isn't an issue for our Orange County districts. We do try to get representation of all districts because we do know Orange County districts differ significantly based on like which different district, so not having one really changes that overall aggregate information that's put out as, you know, a county. There are different reasons why districts don't. Some have only one high school in their district. So how the survey works is that they put out district results, but not high school level results. So it's tricky for those districts that have one high school. So when their district results are put out there, it's really talking about that one high school. Some districts want to kind of muffle some stuff that's going on like at the high school levels for parents and enrollment issues and questions. Mm-hmm. So that could potentially be, sometimes it's political because some of the questions in the survey are a political thing. So the school board decides that they don't want those questions asked to the students. So there's different reasons for Orange County.
Do you know who the participation is in Orange County?
I don't know Orange County. 69% of all California school districts. I'm trying to look for Orange County.
I don't know the latest number.
It could be higher, but if it's political, then it could be lower.
Yeah. There were districts that even...
For the Orange County Public Schools have historically participated heavily with student response rates exceeding the 70% threshold, but they don't give it an exact...
We typically hit the 70% threshold, but like I said, there are some that... We could still hit the 70 with big districts like Santa Ana and some of our, without like our little districts.
Larger districts
like, for example, Laguna Hills was one that we knew had higher rates of things, but they did comply.
Right, like Laguna Beach High School, right? It's just Santa High School.
Yeah, so that was one where, but they did, and I think they did extra modules even, knowing that they had issues with alcohol and drugs in particular. So. Yeah. It just depends on the school board and who's running. But I money, resources, I know the team in the past supported as county, the districts.
So what I kind of started on today is some data to formally request, not all of you. But if it was like from social services, it was Child care, both subsidy utilization and maintenance, demographics of families receiving the child care assistance. For elder care, it was like adult protective services and related elder support programs. From healthcare agency, it was older adult population data, so age, gender disability were available. Any caregiver related survey, like our needs assessment, right? Because there's the caregiver and then there's the paid provider, which are both listed in the needs assessment survey, which is really good. Is it possible to give everyone a copy electronically of the needs assessment survey? Can we email that out to everyone? From the OCCR, which is the Orange County Community Resources Office on Aging, like the counts of the locations of the elder care facilities. Obviously, those are only going to be the county ones, right? Not any private ones. So can we include private ones?
Well, I mean, I think the benefit of the commission is to be able to go outside of the county.
Okay.
So I definitely don't want to seem like we're saying don't go outside, because I know that's what I meant was when it comes to whatever data we do source, that it be consistent, right? But then if you want to, like we just talked about, go outside of that, that's the benefit, because you're not going to get, we're the safety net, right?
Yeah.
So we're missing so much of that population that you're focusing on.
Well, because... And, also, like the senior aspect of it, which is kind of what I kind of wanted to focus on, and being part of that initiative for the MPA with the resource guide, which I'm going to copy that too, is like participation in the senior centers and adult care programs and caregiver support programs and all those things that factor into. Finding out information about how our county is doing related to older adults. And then if any school districts would be able to give us information, I don't know how long it would take them to do that. I wouldn't even know who to ask. I mean, obviously, Caitlin would be able to for Santa Ana, yay, but for everyone else, like how do we get like the before and after school programs, what they're
the websites
okay.
that person out by school, by district.
Okay. Do you happen to know that website?
I can
would
get.
Just be like state or Department of Education.
If you give us the questions, we all have friends on school boards. And the Department of Education, we can ask them.
Yeah.
It's a searchable data.
Okay. And then like economic workforce data, so labor force participation by like gender, ethnicity, things like that. And then any data on reduced hours or exits as a result, which I think would be kind of hard to find, but then is that allowed by law, like to be able to know why somebody exited a work? Don't they have that data? Like, I'm leaving because I want to take care of my kids, or I'm leaving because I can't find childcare. Is that
so? First Five had that data, but I don't know the source of it. But they I think probably presented to you the impact on the workforce, and they had like statistics about how many people like leave the workforce or whatever. But I don't know. I don't remember what the source of that was.
From First Five, they're saying the average annual cost of full-time center-based care for one infant / toddler in Orange County is about $15,650 per year.
Yeah, it was the cost to the business of losing that person. Yeah, see, so this one says child care costs. It doesn't matter, whatever.
I had a question about whether Dr. Marchese thought that there was different information that the county might have based on child care, or whether First Five is your resource and partner to where would it benefit us to have the county present on elder care information that the county has for its programs or what it knows on child care and elder care.
I mean, I think what Liz said, so is... we are the safety net. We do provide care in certain, so there's going to be programs where you're going to get program specific information for a certain population, right? So we have childcare through CalWORKs, so that would be specific to CalWORKs eligible families. You know, there's respite available through community supports through CalAIM, through CalOptimas, but it's going to be specific to that eligible population. There's going to be like all these little bits that are going to pertain to specific populations that meet certain criteria. So it's I just don't know how to bring all that together.
Right. Okay. I'm thinking two things. I would say, to answer the commission's question, I think the county data resources that are already in existence are we can provide that.
Yeah.
And they're actually, luckily, because of these reports that Chris Lynn has been working on, and then the conditions of children, I think those are going to be the Bible, right? Like, here's what we have so far. Mm-hmm. And it's in the needs assessment, the older adult needs assessment, and this document, and then the conditions of children report. And then we'll send the link to, Chris Lynn is putting a webpage, has a webpage now, with all of the county data analytic reports. And she's actually partnering countywide for the first time ever with every department's data person, right? So that they're all communicating and like saying, here's what we're working on, including HCA, because HCA has a ton of data. Right, we haven't even talked about that part, but I think for this purpose, these are the main sources that you could cite, right? They're already in one area. And then if you decide how to layer on based on your topic, right? So Chris Lynn will, I just chatted with her, she can give you the template, like what we did for the inventory, right? So what we did was we created a template so that like the Older Adult Advisory Committee or even SSA, HCA, could go out and ask the question, fill it in, right? This is what you need to know. Here's like the corresponding data source. And so we can give you that template so that when you're out looking at something, you could fill it in and know this is a credible source that would work in compliance with like what our county guideline would be. So that way you're not like going all over, and you're also not spending too much time like, you know, with the county departments because it's already been coalesced into these reports.
That's awesome.
I think that's probably
That was where I kept getting this like, okay, well, wait, well, I don't want to just repeat what we've already put out.
Yeah. Right.
That's why I started branching off into other
As you should.
Avenues.
Yeah. Right.
But then, you know, again, I don't want to spend time, like I spent a couple hours, I don't know, like Saturday Memorial weekend, because we didn't go anywhere. Because I was just going through all the websites that I had, and I was like, this is interesting, this is interesting, this is interesting, and this is really interesting. And then, but to your point,
is it junk? Where does it come from? Yeah, like the data coming out is only as good as what goes in, right?
Somebody going, I'm gonna screw them.
So statewide, I got this figure from the California Budget and Policy Center, and it said California faces an estimated 1.8 million child gap between the number of children needing subsidized child care and the number of publicly funded spaces available.
So let me ask a question. So our initial report identified these as needs, right? And so our next step is to take what we've learned. These are needs. We already know they're needs. I don't think we've proved to ourselves that they're needs. I'm more curious about what the barriers are that have created those needs. And are there systems somewhere or opportunities for us to say, we all know these needs exist. We think they exist because, what's the why, right? So this is the what exists, this is the why, and then what comes next, right? Like that's where I'm kind of excited to have those conversations about, we know that infant care is way too expensive for anybody that's an hourly employee. They just can't afford it. What are they doing? We know that that's a problem. What are they doing? And how can we provide those supports in a systemic way? And, you know, that kind of generative discussion about how we can solve this, perhaps, is going to take us, but also bringing in some of these experts. And are there companies who agree with us that say, we want to retain these wonderful, contributing, awesome employees who are stepping away temporarily from maternity leave? Why aren't they coming back? How can we get, or maybe they are getting them back, like companies that have great retention. What are they doing differently? So where's the success? And then how can we amplify those successful models? So I just don't want to get too stuck in the need, because I think we identified it. We still need to repeat it.
Well, no, and I to your point, maybe I'm speaking in half sentences. This report, kind of in my very beginning of my little monologue there, I identifies that there's some issues. And what I'm hoping that we can address is, yes, we know it's affordability, and we know it's access, right? Those are two of the things for childcare. And so in looking at some of my websites that I went to, it was, well, why is it not affordable? What is the cost? Why is the cost so high? Is it, it's harder for younger kids and older kids because you have to, the state says you have to have a certain number of adults per child, or you have to have a certain credential or accreditation, or, so that was some of the websites that I was going to when they were, we haven't even gotten past the first page. It's expensive, whether it's $15,000 based on first five, and this other website saying it's like $18,000, and, why are they different? I don't know, maybe one's doing 0 to 1 month, and maybe one's doing 0 to 2 months. Exactly. I mean, one's doing 0 to 1 year, and one's doing 0 to 2 years. I don't know, but so I agree with everything. I think this report, we need to definitely identify this is what's happening, and this is the why it's happening, because in order for us to be able to provide some sort of like recommendation or suggestion or whatever, you have to be able to say, if you offered a business, a tax credit to buy a building that they could then make the childcare on site for their employees, something like that, that would be great.
And I agree with you, but I do feel like we still maybe don't know, what age should we be, will the data tell us there's a particular age we could be focusing on? And so before we make a recommendation, do we know yet whether it is, 0 to 2, where we would suggest that the Board of Supervisors can put the resources? Like, I feel like I still have unanswered questions as to what the child care landscape is at different ages, and where the gaps are. And so that's why I think it's still, I feel like I have not been able, and I missed Kim's presentation last month, and so maybe that would have answered some of those questions, but where the real problems are.
Well, to her point, I mean, it's age sets, right? I think we have to look at the whole picture. We have to look at the whole child care years. We have to look at the whole elder care years, the whole caregiving experience.
Yeah.
I think we need to take a look at that to be able to answer those questions. But your point about the why is extremely important, and I totally get that and agree with that.
So who's going to provide that spreadsheet we talked about?
Hold on before you go there. So to blow your mind even more, that we're laying this all on the Board of Supervisors. So I had a conversation with a former teacher, retired forever, stellar, awesome person. And I asked her, and I said, what's your thought? Because you've been a teacher, and child care issue, and she said, well, make the day longer. I was like, what do you mean? She said, kids should be in school until 4 p.m. And if you made the school day 4 p.m., now that doesn't mean that they're in class the whole entire time, and again, teachers' unions, et cetera, whatever, but just to blow
blow your mind. Think about it this way. If you had a regular 8-to-5 day or 8-to-4 day, right? And most people go to work at 8 o'clock, right? So the school could offer, and again, we're not talking about your infant level, we're talking about that 3-year-old on, right? The one that, and then after school too. So you drop your kid off at 7:30, hopefully you're close, right? And go off to work. And then all you have to worry about is at 4 o'clock. So maybe that's if you work with your employer. But that child now has consistent, stable, monitored, not only child care, but is now, you know, you can do like the school districts, they could have, you know, you have your 5 periods or your 6 periods, and then maybe one of them, and we care this with the fact that none of our kids going to college can do math, is you then have, you know, an hour of study hall where the kids can go and.
And you know, a lot of private schools do that.
I know private schools
do. That's how the parents don't have to worry about it until 5 o'clock.
So that's something too, where it's like we're laying this all on the Board of Supervisors, but this really is something that if public schools got involved and invested too, like how much would that impact? How much would that take off the burden of those people that have to find childcare because school gets out at 1 o'clock? You know what I mean? So
I think they're addressing it on the early end. I mean, I think a lot of schools are offering now the drop-off early, like an early drop-off.
No, I don't have an elementary kid. I know that, yeah. That our school, we have 0 period, which is an elected, if you want to go. Otherwise, school starts at 9:30.
Well, there's ACES and BLOT funding that helps fund the before and the after school care that a lot of the schools are running. Eligibility is based on demographics. Of the school population and the community, but there are a lot of kids that are benefiting, thank goodness, for the before and after school. And usually the after school programs will go to, like, I can't speak for all of them, but often will go to 5 or 6. So there is some services out there, but there's almost always wait list for those programs. There's not enough capacity. There is some capacity. There's some capacity in almost all of these areas, but there's not enough capacity in
which
any
comes
of
back
them.
To the data sets that we're as
we're short
with these particular resources.
That's a good point.
And making it 4 o'clock, making it mandatory, so you don't have the 13-year-old wandering around the streets or whatever. But anyway, I digress. So to your comment, I'm happy to go through and give what I think is my thought, or have everyone submit to me, maybe that's better, have everyone submit to me what you guys think would be important websites to use as a resource or to look at or whatever. I can compile it, filter it, make sure we don't have duplicates, so you know we're not. And then I can put it all together in one and I can send it to you and add my own if that's something that you guys, but this is something we don't meet in July. So this is something that I would need fairly quickly because I want to be able to work on my own part of this and not wait for everyone to give me their website. You know what I mean?
So, I finally, just at the 11th hour, right before this meeting, made some headway on my efforts. So for the last month, since our last meeting, since we did this, I've, like, for a couple hours a week, I would dedicate time to trying to reach out to find who, you know, get through to somebody at this agency that could get me to the right person that could, okay, and you get the runaround. I mean, you just completely get the runaround. And so... I finally, and the phone numbers, by the way, for a lot of these agencies are like, they randomly go throughout the state. So you're talking to somebody in Northern California and, you know, they don't know what Orange County is doing or whatever. So you really spend a lot of your time spinning your wheels. So finally, I got a call back yesterday as I was going into another board meeting. And missed the call, but from the lady, the executive director of the Children's Home Society of California for Orange County. Finally, somebody in Northern California that I
harassed enough on the phone for long enough, finally understood, you know, please get her the message and please have her call me back. So she finally did. We didn't connect by phone, but she gave me her email address. And so I sent her this email last night, and I put bullet points in here of the data that we're looking for. I'm sure she looked at this and was overwhelmed. And she brought in the other lady, and I think you found this website too, but she connected me too, and they just have been writing me back. This is what I was looking at on my phone. So the executive director of this program connected me to the program administrator, and I also put it out there, and we've been going back and forth a little bit with emails. I invited them to, if they're interested, to come and speak to our group. And so Rachel, who is the program administrator, who can provide us with a lot of information, is definitely willing to come and speak at one of our next meetings. So that's great. And they are working on pulling together the bullet points of information.
Have you heard of them?
Yes. So that's actually, I'm sorry that you spent so much time, because I could have given you her email address. So that's actually who provides a lot of the child care data for the Conditions of Children report. Yeah. So yes, that's great. And actually, it'd be great to see what else maybe they're willing to provide, because they get, know like what's, how many licensed spots there are for the certain age groups, and the distribution of those geographically. So some of that information is in the Conditions of Children report, and that did come from them.
Okay, fantastic. Thank you for doing that.
Children's Home
Society. Children's Home Society of California. Is that the one you found or not?
I've worked with them, so I might have given that. Children's Home Society is my go-to, and for a lot of people, when you have somebody who is searching for child care and they don't know where to go, that's the call. And they know all of the licensed in-home child care as well as other types of child care programs. And they, you know, very, very helpful resource. You know, they probably, they're just amazing. And they do some training and technical support along the lines of helping improve quality of health care too for people that are providers.
And that's one of the things that I did ask them about. So
great.
Do you want me to try and schedule her for our
So I thought we told we were gonna in August. I thought we were gonna
try and have Darcy, but maybe we'll only use 15-20 minutes if we're not doing a working session. Maybe two, and maybe we try for two, and if we both get both, it's probably
ask
time.
Let's ask what her schedule is, and then just Brown Act, right? So you have 12
Who's Darcy?
Darcy Taunton is the executive director of the California Commission of the Status of Women and Girls. Actually, I think I don't think there's is girls. California Commission.
So we're going to try and get her to come and speak next.
Yeah, I think maybe we said probably by Zoom, because she's based in Northern California, maybe.
Yeah.
So let's try it. We can try for both, because who knows, maybe your person is like, nope, can't September. Well, then we'll pick up September. You know what I mean?
Right.
So yeah, let's definitely reach out. That'd be fantastic.
So we have phone numbers and emails now, so now we can communicate. So that's good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And they have expressed a willingness to try and pull some of this information together for us and give us what they can.
And
I'm hopeful.
Did you think that Chrislyn is going to be able to pull the data that they've got from the different reports and get that to us? Or do you think we would benefit from, I know you very early on, I think our first presentation was a county presentation on the status of women and girls, like whatever the county had. Do you think that that would be possible?
So what I'm saying is, I think it's all there already. So it would be a matter of just making sure you had the links to all of it in one place, so that it's like, okay, here's everything we have.
Okay.
And then if you go through it and you say, okay, we really need to revisit or have questions about this section, these sections or, you know, want more, then we can, then Chrislyn, good timing, can jump in. I did, Commissioner Nashashimi asked about who's creating the template for like capturing on new data sources. That would be what Chrislyn would provide, right? Like, here's the questions we need kind of tracked. Okay. And with like a
fill in the blank.
No, so we would give you the template that you would then go out and say, oh, here's my website,
right.
Here's the data source, here's X, like give an example maybe,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. And then, but then in terms of the data, it would be, it's already there, like it's in the back of these reports or the needs assessment, so at least it's all in one place in one email to you, to the commissioners, to be able to look through and see what's relevant.
But I thought we were also going to have,
That's what the template is, right? So that's it. It's like a list, but it also has like the things that she needs to check off. Like,
okay.
Does it have this data source? Or like, I think, so it's a list, but with more meat.
Okay,
so that
can they, so if that template goes out to all of us, and let's say that each of us go and put, we have three different data sources we want. So they're going to come back with three different lists, if you will. Can they send it to me? So then I can make sure that she hasn't repeated what she did. And then I can say, like, okay, there's some duplicates. And
yeah, so Crystal's saying, right, like you're the one filling out the spreadsheet, but everyone's sending you that source information.
Or,
and then
I
you
mean,
kind of compile it.
If I were, I don't know what you're, what's best for you all. You're busy, whatever. Like, do you want to use a Google Doc? Like, put it on a Google Excel sheet and just
because I'm sorry, but people don't, like, maybe you use it, but
I don't use
people
it.
Don't use it.
Yeah,
and so it misses out. I'd rather do the old.
However you all want to capture it, like, we would just provide you with, like, here's what we would like to get in here, right? And some of it may not have everything. So that you're not, like, you already did some research. So then you could go in and put in what you did find for each of those sources.
Yeah.
It's just a way to be able to see what's
okay,
being
so
looked
then,
at.
Because I'm trying to make it so that one person is able to compile it all to hand off instead of staff getting 15 emails, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you send it to Valerie, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, Valerie can send it all out to us because that's what she does. That's okay to do. And then even if we don't communicate, they can't send it back to me.
Yes.
They can't.
I want to say it's more as long as it's like
there's
like the concern is just that, you know, you
it's
sent
a serial meeting.
It's
yeah.
a serial meeting.
Yeah.
But if it's
nobody
just a one way communication.
Nobody talked to me. Just send me your list.
I vow not to talk to you, but maybe if we did another couple more working meetings so that we start extrapolating the data so that we can all see, like I think, like what Liz is saying is she's going to go send us where the information is, but then somebody's still going to have to go to each of those three different places, pull out what we think is going to be relevant, compare that with first five's information. Like
right.
At some point we've got a
right. So absolutely.
Yeah.
So what I'm thinking is the sooner that template gets sent out, I want again, sorry, I'm busy too. I need that back as soon as possible. And then I can compile it and I can send it. I mean I'm talking like you guys can do this in like a week. That would be great. Because we have all of July. And so then that way as soon as you were able to look at it and get it back to us, then once the approved list, you can send it to everybody and go, here you go, here's your approved list. And then for the August meeting, and then you have all July, June, rest of June and July, to work on whatever part your website or your focus is on, and then we can come. I plan on coming in August with a mini report, obviously, of what I think, right? It may be a PowerPoint. I don't have the same program to that, but it'll have like
data, yeah,
and it'll have
right.
an assessment or a look at me. It doesn't mean that that's what we're using, but it just
Like, so that's kind of my thought is if we could, you know, and honestly, I know the people here are the ones that do the work. There, I said it.
And also, I think, like, to Anne's point, when we're looking at those best practices, those recommendations, I think more data will kind of appear because those best, it's not a new topic, right? I think there probably is some good practice out there. It's not just Orange County. It's California. It's nationwide solutions. So when we're looking at those solutions or those programs, a lot of programs are designed based on uniqueness of like cultural or financial, right? So maybe that will also help us, you know, kind of go both ways. Yes, we're framing that assessment, looking at what direction, maybe it's a financial thing throughout Orange County or time, right? And so we're looking at those programs, best practices, and that might give us some leads on that front end. Like, this program's designed to do X, Y, and Z for these issues. And then we've identified, hey, those are issues very strong in Orange County, right? So it's not just a one-time thing, but it's a good thing to kind of see what sources we have out there, yes, but then also kind of look at that back end programming, because it seems like the point of this document is to really provide those recommendations of what the council thinks, commission thinks would work in Orange County. So we also have to be considering that end of the report, right? What's the end game? What's the goal of this document? It's not really like framing the story so much because we did a lot of that in our data, but connecting why we're doing this, yes, with that data, but then recommending these best practices in Orange County, evidence-based best practice, what works, what's been successful, is and why the commission's kind of backing that up. That's gonna be a really big piece, I think, of this report, so we can kind of move forward in the work.
So what I have is staff is gonna send out copies of prior reports, like the needs assessment and
I can even, I mean, I've developed a lot of them, so I can even highlight page whatever this port of report has all the caregiving information.
Yeah,
right?
But I think it's important for everyone to develop it.
Look at the whole thing. Yeah.
So sure. If you would send out to everyone the needs assessment, I still have my copies of the conditions of children.
They're all available online.
Yeah, we'll just put all
the links
together.
So watch us put all the links. Great. Okay.
There's also the older adult directory, which has all of our care locations.
So you'll send us the links.
All these things that I think could be helpful, county.
So staff's going to send out that. And then you're going to send out a template to everyone. Or actually, Valerie's going to send out the template. So you're going
to
send.
I'll send all this to Valerie.
Okay.
She'll send it out of the packet. Okay.
Yeah. Template will be there too. Okay, fantastic.
And I probably can do this by tomorrow. So.
Fantastic. And then if I can get a commitment from everyone as best as you can, like, can you guys get it back to me? I have nothing to do. Can we say a week from tomorrow that you guys, I mean, most of you have it already on your thing. Can we say?
Mine's a little bit of an unusual situation. I guess the UCLA is the JIS thing that I need access. You have to sign up and then learn how to access the database, which Allison can teach me, but we might be a little bit longer because it's a whole thing.
So if you just put it on there. This is just to say which.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah, this
okay.
Is it. You're not producing
it.
You're just giving me the list of who you want to use or who you.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
But to your point, I think it's good to follow up because a lot of Orange County metrics aren't reliable because they're very small samples.
Okay. From the chip.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
It's good to figure out which ones you're thinking and if it's reliable.
95% confidence interval is.
And then
it'll have like.
It'll say.
I will get it to you guys.
It is unstable.
They'll still show it, but they like.
I was just looking through it and it. Yeah.
Can you do
this? And then I will work on it that weekend. And try and get it to you Monday the 16th, 15th.
Make sure.
I'll try and get it to you the 15th of June. And then it, how long would it take for you to turn it around to give it, to tell us what's approved or not? So then that way everyone can pull up their sleeves and get busy.
I could give updates weekly of like what I can get through, if you're okay with just getting, like I'll get through, I will, you know, I don't have to get through all of it to start kind of getting communication.
Okay, so anytime there's ones that are approved, it can just go out to all of us, and if that's yours, you can get started. How's that? Is that are you laughing at me, or are you?
Yeah.
okay, we have a plan. And I appreciate everyone who's here, who has started, who's got information, who's done the work. You guys are amazing. Thank you. Everyone has another life, and I totally respect that.
And Chair Miles, one of our alternates, seems like she has something to offer.
My alternate has expertise in researching this area, and we were wondering if there were parameters that she might be able to assist me in research or be able to conduct research independently.
No, there's no problem with that.
Okay. Have I ever Allison turned down?
Experience, not expertise.
Well,
expertise, not expertise. Yeah.
I don't know. It rises. She's got the login already. That rises to expertise.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also wanted to add. So Vice Chair Merrick had sent me. This is a discussion for August. She had sent me that, and I think, Rashida, you went to a meeting in March also that talked about different bills pertaining to, so wondering if, as a commission, if we're allowed to give our opinions on, like, California policy related to women or whatever. She said, can't make the meeting tomorrow. Want to share her takeaway from the virtual May 19th, State Commission Policy Convening. The California Commission is co-sponsoring six bills and asking for letters of support through the state portal and/or testimony to committees in Sacramento. I believe that I have all the bill numbers correct instead of their formal titles. I jotted down the topic. So AB 1709 is social media age limit, which obviously would be relevant to young girls in school, right? AB 1914, investigate child care needs as new housing is built. That would be okay.
I can already tell you that the board policy is that the commission could not enter like letters of support, endorsement of any kind, because they are board appointed, and that would require like board approval. That's the policy when it comes to the boards and commissions. There are some that are mandated, right? Like that's their mandates by state. And so that's where that comes into play. Since this is a board appointed, and the role of the board, a commission, is to advise, not to serve as that primary advocate at a legislative level.
But as an advisory board to the Board of Supervisors, can't they send their recommendations to the board?
Yes.
The Commission on the Status of Women and the Girls encourages the Board of Supervisors to support or oppose.
Yes.
Yes. You can. You can memo the board.
Yeah,
and that's one thing that we talked about.
I was on that.
Was like, you don't have to wait for a report to come out, right? If the commission feels like we feel strongly about this, again, you should vote on that, because there's different political views included in this, then that would be a memo to the board.
Okay, so let's put it for the August meeting I will respond to Vice Chair Merrick and ask her to take this on, as if there's something that she wants us to make a recommendation to the board to support or whatnot, that she comes to the list and description of impacts, et cetera, of each bill, and we can vote on that. So it would be an action.
Yeah. And I would love for the board to see this commission as a resource to them, right? And maybe they want to be able to give an opinion on something and want to come to you to ask for guidance, that's really what these advisory bodies were intended to be. So I would love for that to be part of what, you know, ends up happening with the commission.
Okay. And then lastly,
Just as a point of clarification, individual commissioners can comment on the legislation, just not in their individual capacity, but if they wanted to support.
Yes,
bills, not as a commissioner, but yeah, as a.
Very well, too.
You just have to make sure you don't say
on behalf of the commission in any way.
And then both Commissioner Weiss and Commissioner Mahoney are going to reach out to their representatives or experts and see about scheduling a meeting.
With what I signed up for.
Yes. And so you'll just email. And if
email me, coordinate with me, so that way I can put it on the agenda for which month that they're available to come.
Before we close the meeting, can I bring up one more thing? Can we schedule also some time? I know we're looking at child care and affordability as kind of a follow-up to the report, but I think we also have other recommendations to the board that we said we would get to at some point based on the women's report. So I don't know whether we need an ad hoc on that or how to move that ball forward about some of our recommendations that might have come out of the women's report.
That can definitely be part of the report.
Well, I think the report is going to be on child care affordability, but I think there are other areas that of data that we learned about, kind of like what wound up not being the letter of suggestions to make recommendations to the Board of Supervisors. We pulled any of that out of the commission report that we submitted, but I think we still did have some suggestions for them.
Yeah, I don't see why we still couldn't include that as like part of the report at the end, like kind of say, even though this report focuses on child care and maybe adult care.
I guess not putting it off another, not necessarily waiting until 2027 to make those recommendations to them, that we maybe start dual tracking, that working on the child care affordability and accessibility separately, not losing any momentum or thoughts that we had on other things that we might
do. I don't want to lose any momentum either, so why don't you plan on speaking to it in August.
That sounds good. If you could agendize me as a, or not me per se, but agendize following up on the Women's Commission report, making suggestions to the board
based on that.
Discussion on making recommendations to everyone's supervisors.
If I have better language, Valerie, I might send that to you. Because I think we agendized it once. I think it was on the agenda a couple agendas ago. I'll go back and look at the agendas.
Okay, so at this point, are there any roundtable discussions for any of the commissioners that would like to say anything or mention anything at all? No? Okay, so we are dark in July, so don't show up. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you for helping us succeed. And I hope everyone has a happy 4th. Happy birthday to America. And with that, I'm going to adjourn the meeting at 12:03, and we'll see you August 6th at 10 a.m. here.
Thank you for a good meeting, Crystal.
Thank you.
We have a budget of what we have left to spend. And we have,
thank you.
That's what the report cost was, 51.
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. Let me just.
That's what we spent on the last report.
Just let me know if you didn't get it.
I'll look right now.
Okay.